Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
One of the things I want to just set before you tonight is that we fight. We're always fighting battles. We have a flesh, and we're always fighting a battle, trying to control the flesh, trying to keep in a good place, trying to walk tall in the Lord, strong in His strength. We're always trying to be in that place of peace, fighting for joy, struggling to get freedom. There's always some battle going on, and in that battle, the Lord has some tools for us that should, if we apply the tools, it will cause us to do the things that the Word says that we can do. Like the scripture that says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. That is a profound truth. And we can walk in that, but our mind wants to go everywhere but there. And so how do we keep our mind there? It also, the Lord in the battle, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. He says that he is our strength. He is our joy. He's everything good. So how do we tap into that part of God that keeps us in the truth of the Word? Because we want to stand strong in the truth. The truth does set us free. And how do we do that? And one way that we do that is to believe it, for one thing. That's how I started. I sat down with the Lord one day, and I'm like, God, your word says so many things, and I've not experienced very little. I've not had very little breakthrough in some of these areas, and I don't even know what to think about that. I've always loved you. Since the age of 9, I gave you my heart, but I never felt a heart. I never felt that connection with the Lord. I just knew it. And so how do I, with all the struggles and the way that life wants to get us down, how do we believe for the more? Because God wants us to live in abundance. He wants us to live in provision. I've seen that wagon of provision, and it always goes before us, and it's huge. It's laden with provision, with good things that God has for us. It's full of joy, full of peace, full of provision of every kind, physical, emotional, spiritual, even blessing in the realm, the physical realm that we live around us, that surrounds us. He wants that for us. That's why he made the Garden of Eden so beautiful. And by the way, you're clapping, when we were clapping to that one song so strongly, it reminded me that when we were at the conference, my daughter, Crystal, saw lions and all kinds of zebra and palm, all of a sudden palm trees and all kinds of beautiful plants and animals that were walking down the aisles, and all of a sudden, to her, that room became the Garden of Eden. And she said, Mom, when we make that sound in unity, it creates an Eden in the spirit. And so just so you know, there's power in our unity. And so even to pray for one another, to confess our sins to one another, we should be doing those, loving each other. That's why love is so important. So the Lord has tools. We need to tap into the tools. But here's what we normally do. I'm going to read to you out of Isaiah 22. And this is when God removed the defenses of Judah. says, in that day you depended on the weapons of the house of the forest. That means that they depended on their own arsenal, what they had stored up, weapons and things like that that they had stored up. You saw the breaches in the wall of the city of David were many, and you collected the waters of the lower pool. Then you counted the houses of Jerusalem and tore down houses to fortify the wall. And you made a reservoir between the two walls for the waters of the old pool. So they did everything right. They were doing all that they knew to do in order to fortify the city. But then he says, but you did not depend on him who made it, nor did you take into consideration him who planned it long ago. That's what happens to us. We start getting bombarded with trial after trial after trial, struggle after struggle, and pretty soon we're at a loss as to how do we even think in this place. We get tired and weary. We get worn out because we're depending on our own arsenal rather than considering him who made it, him who made us, what we have. God in us. We lack for no power to defeat any enemy. So when I sat down with the Lord one day, it was several years ago, and I'm like, God, I need to make a decision. I can't go on like this anymore. I either need to believe your word and every word of it, that it's true for me, or I need to throw the whole thing out. Because I don't want to pick and choose anymore. I don't want to pick and I'm tired of, I grew up in a cessationist background. And if you're in that, that's okay. But for me, it didn't become okay anymore. Because the word was telling me something different. And I wanted to embrace it, but I was afraid to embrace it. And I had all this conflict. And so I had to come to that place that I either was going to believe the word and the whole word and nothing but the word, or I was going to toss out the word. And I was not going to go there. That wasn't an option. So I committed that day. God, help me to believe your word. Every word, every promise. Help me to embrace every promise, because if I can't stand in it, then I'm not going to stand. And he's faithful to do that. He's faithful to cause you to believe his word, because he's all about that. His word is powerful. There is nothing, his word does not lack power. It is power. It is truth. His truth is powerful. It's able to defeat everything, principality or anything that thinks it's powerful. God is the ultimate authority. The other day, I want you to close your eyes and picture this, because Jesus showed me a vision, and I want you to see it, because you can see it. You can see what I see. I found myself standing on a sea of glass, and far off in the distance was a mountain, and it was enormous. Earth does not have a mountain that large. And I was like, the more I looked at it, the more beautiful it became. And it was made of like jasper and diamond, large, large stones that glowed with the glory of God, different colors. And they blended, and it was living color in this mountain. Reaches high above all other authority. I got the distinct impression that it is impenetrable. Nothing can even touch it. It is the throne of Christ Jesus. I saw him sitting there. In all of his glory. And then he came down to me. So let him come down to you as you're standing on that sea of glass. Because that's what he did. He came down to our level and met us there. He stepped into our likeness so that we can become like his. Everything that is trying to hinder love in you, everything that is trying to hinder your peace, everything that is trying to rob you of joy, everything that is trying to strip you of your identity, everything that is trying to destroy your marriage, everything that is trying to keep you bound with addiction or lying or pornography, whatever you struggle with, and we all struggle with something, whatever that is, the authority of Christ Jesus is greater. There is no principality that can come against him. We have to remember him. We have to remember the one who created us, and his arsenal is far greater than ours. When we depend on our own self to do a thing, to get past a struggle, to move forward, we run out of steam pretty quick. But we need to stand in front of that mountain and receive what he has for us. I would encourage you to go to that mountain often and stand there and ask him about it. Let him speak to you about that mountain, his authority. And then he turns around and says that he's given us, that we are seated with him in the heavenly places, that he has given us authority to do all that we're called to do, to stand in victory. He has given us that authority to heal the sick and raise the dead, to cast out demons. There is nothing that can come against us that hasn't already tried to stand against Jesus Christ, and he's defeated it. In Colossians 2, it says that he nailed it to the cross. He nailed all that judgment and condemnation to the cross. When our spirit gets a revelation of Christ in us, the hope of glory, the unity we have because of the Holy Spirit, when our spirit connects with Holy Spirit in that revelation, when it gets from head knowledge to heart knowledge, then our spirit desires in a greater way to unify itself with Holy Spirit. Our spirit, we begin then to live in the spirit rather than in the flesh. That's a process, but that process is, it can gain momentum. There's things you can do to cause that momentum to grow, to go faster. You don't have to be stagnant. You can cause it to move faster. And so falling in love is one. Falling in love is number one. Letting yourself love the Lord. Love is a choice. Love is a choice. I talked to a young man at the conference. They were praying for people that felt like they were stuck or in bondage, and some people were praying for him, and my daughter and another friend came and got me, and I went over there, and so I spent a couple hours with him in private, and he believed the Lord. He was just beginning to learn to prophesy. He got pictures a little bit. He comes from a Christian home. He has everything in place. But then as we talked, he was telling me, I want God to show up. He never shows up for me. And if he doesn't show up for me, I'm just like, kill me. Just kill me. If you're not going to show up and do something for me, then just kill me. And he had all this anger. And that is the one thing that will keep you from getting that heart-to-heart connection with God. Because if you're angry at him, it's just like if you're a little child and you're really angry at your best friend or your parent, the last thing you want to do is talk to them, right? And so it's kind of a little bitty rebellious thing going on there. And the Holy Spirit doesn't force his way. God's gentle. He wants to be invited. So I encouraged him, let go of that anger. Humble yourself before the Lord. It's his terms, not yours. He'll meet you, but he wants you to, he's not going to force himself on you. And he didn't buy into that, but he was open to it. So he took my email. Hope he connects. But we need to connect with God. So how do we do that? We fall in love. Turn to Ephesians if you have your Bibles. I heard the Lord the other day. I heard the Lord say, raise the banner. Raise the banner. And I'm like, what does that mean? Raise the, okay, I know, raise the banner. I know what a banner looks like, but exactly what does that mean? Well, in our history, even in the Bible times, they had a banner that they would raise. And if they were a king or a ruler and they were in battle, they would raise their banner so that the troops knew where to rally. And I heard the Lord say, raise the banner. And then, so the banner, our banner is love, right? It's Jesus. And so we need to keep him raised high so we know where to look. We need to always keep our eyes on that banner, not at the battle. The battle is distracting. So fix our eyes on Jesus. It's like fix, it's a, he becomes our fixation. That's a good one. In Ephesians 6, in verse, starting with verse 10, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. It's his might. It's not our arsenal. It's his. His arsenal never runs out. There's always enough. His strength is more than enough to meet every battle, every need that we have. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. He is a schemer. He's a liar. He's a cheat. He's a thief. There is nothing good about him. You can't trust. He's the exact opposite of God. It's the exact opposite. But we tend to believe him hook, line, and sinker, because he'll set up, he'll use situations in where loved ones will hurt us or friends will hurt us. And those heart hurts, he'll then, every time that happens, that same thing happens, he'll poke another spear in there. And he'll just make that hole bigger and bigger and bigger. And pretty soon, that feels more true than that God loves us. The world hates us. Feels more true than God loves us. So we need to be wise to the schemes and stand firm against him. The Bible says that if we stand firm, he'll flee. Flee. That's like fear. He'll run in fear from you. He'll flee from you. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. God's mountain of authority is above that. The enemy is very arrogant. He thinks that he has all this ultimate authority. He has authority, but not against a Christian. He has nothing. If you've given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, he cannot defeat you unless you allow it. So you have to be wise to his schemes. Therefore, take up the full armor of God. This is not something you can pray on yourself. I mean, you can pray it and that's okay. This is something you live. It is something you embrace. You wear it all the time. You don't just pray it on you. You know, as you eat Jesus, he says for us to eat him. That means we're like absorbed. We're taking in everything that we can of him. We're encountering him. We're loving him. We're believing him. We trust him. We're doing all of these things. We get passionate about the word. If you don't have that, ask God to give it to you. Whatever you lack when it comes to the Lord, ask the Lord for it. That's what I've done. Ask him. He's faithful. He wants you to want those things, and he'll do it. So when you look at this, you've got to live it. It has to become part of who you are. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. So you can't stand firm. I mean, if you've been lax and not paying attention to the Lord, and, you know, it's like he'll be there for you, but you're going to have trouble standing if you haven't prepared yourself in advance, right? A soldier needs trained. That's why we have boot camp for our military, so that they're trained. The same with us. We're all in boot camp right now. So take advantage of the boot camp. Take advantage of those tools that you've been given. Take advantage of the word and prayer and intercession and soaking and the prophetic and all those things that God gives us as tools to encounter him. Take advantage. Prepare. Again, it says, stand firm in verse 14. Therefore, having girded yourself. So it's like you've done this. Having girded yourself. So this is how you stand firm, because you've done this. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. What is truth? God is truth. His word is truth. You have to make a decision. Are you going to believe it or not? Is it for you or not? The enemy wants to lie to you and tell you it isn't. That you're not loved by God, or you're not this, or you're not that. Choose to believe. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, we need to embrace righteousness. We can't live in sin and be clothed with the breastplate. Your heart is wide open there. The breastplate covers your whole chest area. If you're not walking in righteousness, this doesn't mean you're striving to be like you're beating yourself up if you're not perfect. Right? Righteousness is right standing with God. It means you're trusting him, believing, you're walking in the fear of the Lord. It's the reverential trust. It demands obedience, and it hates what God hates. That's what the fear of the Lord is. Jesus puts you in right standing with God. You need to agree with it. You need to agree with that's who you are. That's your identity. You are in right standing with God. So agree with it. Embrace it. If you're fighting that, then your flesh is battling against something that's ridiculous if you stop and think about it. That's not your identity. Your identity is that you are seated with Christ. You are standing in righteousness. You must agree with it. Otherwise, the enemy he can hit you where it hurts. He'll get at you. So study. So these words right here. With truth, righteousness, look them up and study. Embrace truth. Say, God, I want to believe you. However, I mean, when the Bible says that I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places, that I have authority to raise the dead, to heal the sick, our minds need to embrace that. Our heart needs to get connected with our mind. It needs to become more than head knowledge. It needs to become experiential knowledge. It needs to get into our heart. Embrace that as a truth. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of Christ brings peace. Brings peace. I walk in a lot of peace. It feels good. When I get out of peace, I know it right away. That doesn't feel good. So I do everything I can to get back in peace. I fight for it. I hate the enemy. I do a lot of inner healing with people, and I see what the lies do. I see the destruction that he wants to rot in hearts. I see and I hear story after story after story of destruction. And then I get to see Jesus rebuild, restore, redeem. It's a beautiful thing. His power to redeem is far greater than the enemy's power to destroy. He has so done it. We just have to come into agreement. Don't let the enemy lie to you about your identity. He wants to tell you you're this or you're that, you're no good, you're rejected, you're unloved, all those things that are lies. Embrace the truth. So get into peace, study it, embrace it, fight for it. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith. Faith is believing for that which you do not see. That's a hard one. It's believing for that which you do not see. It's stepping out in faith. If you work your way into that reverential trust, it says that Jesus in Isaiah 11, it says that Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord. So he delighted in that reverential trust, even to face the cross, even to death. That I'm fighting for. I want that. I want that. You have to fight for these things, guys. You can't sit and expect God to just download it on you. We have a part. He's already done it. He's already done it. We have to agree with it. You have to see what he's done for you. It's so beautiful. You just have to agree with it. So we have to let go. We have to release those lies of the enemy. They're not worth holding on to. But our hearts have trouble. Our hearts have trouble because it feels true. But the feeling is a result of believing the lie. When we receive those lies, it's because we base it on a feeling rather than the truth. We all do it. It's just the way we're our flesh is wired. But we can turn that around and rewire ourselves to line up with Christ. The shield of faith. You know that shield? You can move that shield around anywhere. I mean, shields are flexible. They're not tied to you. You can move it. It will deflect anything. With that, you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. All of them. So he can't shoot an arrow at you that would prosper. Psalm 91 says that. He's not going to prosper if you're wielding that. If you're wearing this armor, there's no way. You have then clothed yourself in the authority of God. That's what this armor is. You have clothed yourself in the armor of God, the authority of God. And the enemy sees it and he knows it. He'll look for a slit. But if he finds one, yay. Then go for the healing and he won't be able to do it again. That's what fighting is about. You don't beat yourself up when he gets through. You go to the Lord and say, how can I fix this? What do I need to do here? So that doesn't happen again. I love it when I get exposed. I mean, it's not fun. You know, seriously, I don't like looking at junk, but I see the bigger picture. I love being exposed. I don't even care if it's publicly. I don't anymore. I don't. I'm not bragging about that. That peace is worth fighting for. That unity with him is worth fighting for, and I don't care the price that I have to pay. Get yourself in that place. You know, Paul said, do as I do. I'm just saying to you, do as I do. I'm a forerunner, and I know that. There's others here that are doing it. Many of you are doing it. Embrace it. Go for it. Fight for it. The helmet of salvation. If you have that, that protects your thinking. Salvation of Christ Jesus. Everything that you need to walk in victory was done on the cross. When you have passed through the blood of Christ Jesus, through the body and blood of Christ Jesus, you are now a new creature. You are unified with him as one. Holy Spirit dwells within you. You're his holy of holies. You now unify. You're one with holy God. How awesome is that? That is your identity. Then each of you express that in a unique way. It's the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You have to know the Word. Get into it and eat it. Ask God to give you a hunger and a thirst for it. Oh, Papa, I ask that you just fill these people with your love. I just ask that you give them revelation of the truth that you have for them. Each one of them, God, is precious in your sight. Each one of them is a jewel. Each one of them you fought for. Each one of them you conquered already. I ask that you give them the revelation of that, of what the cross means to them personally, of what that mountain looks like for them, of what your word looks like for them. You get real personal. Let the Lord get real personal with you. Thank you, Lord. We're going to slip into a time of healing. And because God has that for you, that's part of our fight. We fight to set the captives free. We fight for health. We fight for strength. And so praying for healing is something the Word tells us to do. We love doing it. We love walking in that truth that we can. So I invite, do we have a guitar or something? Keyboard or there we go. Just some quiet music. And we're going to I'm going to call up a few things that I just feel the Lord wants to address. I keep hearing a wrist, like a right wrist. I don't know if it's carpal tunnel or whatever it is. If somebody is feeling something in their right wrist, I invite you to come on up. Don't be shy. I also hear knees, like if you're struggling with your knees. And I also hear kidney. If one of you have issues with kidney, I invite you to come up. I invite the healing team to start coming up. Diabetes. I hear the word diabetes. I invite you to come up. Depression. I feel like the Lord wants to address depression. I feel like there's some of you here that are struggling with confidence, like the I can, struggling with identity. I feel like the Lord wants to address that. Thank you, Jesus. I keep hearing the word hopeless. If you feel hopeless, if you feel like your situation is hopeless, I invite you to come up. Thank you, Lord. If you have any other thing that you want prayer for, even if I haven't called it, if you have physical, emotional, or spiritual concerns, I invite you to come up. We want to set you before Papa.
I believe you're my healer. I believe you. I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. And I believe.